Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
No one said being a parent would be easy, but now you don't have to go through it alone. Actress and mother of two, Jamie Lynn Sigler, has teamed up with musician and stay-at-home mother of two, Jenna Paris, to create a safe place where you can confess your worst mommy sins and still feel like you're killing the mommy game. This is Mama Said with Jamie and Jenna.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mama Said. Jenna, how are you, my
love? Hi, Jame. I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm kind of in a funk. I don't know if I'm like fighting something, like a illness or a mood or whatever it is. I don't know. It's just kind of been like a shitty week.
Is it because of the shitty weather?
Maybe.
Do you get affected by that?
I mean, I think there's times I invite it because LA is normally just always like sunny and 70, but
yeah.
I don't know. That could be it. But you know what? We're here, so let's turn this
around
upside down.
Okay.
I'm just going to get right into it and start with my mommy win and fail of the week, okay?
Can't wait to hear.
Mommy win! Mommy fail.
All right, I'm going to start with my fail because I'm clearly being negative. I just can't get my kids healthy. I feel like they have been sick for months. And if it's not teething, it's a cold or bronchitis or a stomach flu. And I literally feel like I'm doing all I can to take care of them and get them well. But it just bounces back from one to the other.
Of course.
And I called my pediatrician last week and I was like, what do I do? Because I can't remember the last time that I have not wiped Jack's nose.
Right.
And I haven't been hearing Bo cough all night. And he was like, homeschool. Like, that's my only advice. It's the time of year, they're little germ dishes, and this is it.
Yeah, I feel like at first I thought in the beginning of cold and flu season that we like kind of escaped all of this. No one was getting sick in my family. My son was fine. My daughter was fine. And then all of a sudden, about a month ago, they were going back and forth and back and forth. And actually, I got pretty scared yesterday because Daisy – or last night because Daisy coughed for 2 minutes straight. And I thought, she actually like threw up in the middle of the night, which is really sad.
Oh, baby.
I know. And I realized this morning. Oops. But anyway.
Well,
whatever.
You found the evidence this morning?
It was a little smelly.
It happens. It's okay. I know. I'm the one that's like, I can hear Jack coughing in the middle of the night.
Of course.
And I'm just like, one eye open, like, he's still all right. I'm not going in.
I know,
can't.
Because
then you think like, but then if you go in, it can ruin it and they wake up. It's just, you know, that whole
thing
that you'll, that'll happen.
You're not supposed to go in.
Right. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Okay. Win. Oh, all right. Well, this is obviously hard for me this week. I'm so tired. Okay. Something positive. Cutter and I are in a really nice stride right now. I think we're communicating really well.
Wow.
He's been very helpful, just kind of picking things up, cleaning, helping me out without me asking.
Maybe he's been listening to our podcast.
Possibly been listening to the podcast. And he let me sleep in for 2 mornings. I mean, when I say sleep in, you know, I got to sleep till 7 instead of being waking up at 5:30 so he can start getting ready for work. But I really appreciate it. So I find it to be a win.
That's really nice of him.
Really?
Go Cutter.
Yay, babe.
Seriously.
Okay, your turn.
Okay. A mommy win. It's kind of like not mommy-ish, but I was asked to sing the national anthem at this big event, which is really cool.
Really
so,
cool.
Yes. So I'm doing that. And it's just, I don't know.
I'm proud of you.
It's going to be fun.
Great.
Yeah.
It's something for you. That
exactly.
is a win.
It's for me. So it's going to be fun. And that's that. So... mommy fail. Something happened today that was so weird. When I was weaning off of breastfeeding, I had to buy this stuff called Cabo cream, and it's cabbage. And I bought it and used it, and I put it in my drawer, and it just like helps like alleviate, you know, like your breast milk and reduces it, whatever.
Right.
So I went to go brush my teeth this morning, and I looked at it, and then I put it on my toothbrush and brushed my teeth with the Cabo cream, and it was disgusting, but I kept brushing my teeth because I was so tired. I was like, this doesn't taste like toothpaste, but like whatever, like maybe I'm just like really tired. So I kept brushing my teeth and brushing my teeth. And then all of a sudden I looked and it was Cabo cream. So I brushed my teeth. with, you know, cabbage breast lactation cream.
Jenna.
But the weird thing is, like, I didn't stop myself. I, like, literally finished, you know, the Sonicare toothbrush, how it has, like, all these cycles. Yeah. Like, I finished all four cycles.
Oh, you go through the cycles?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you not?
No.
I mean, not every day.
I have, like, 8 seconds to do what I need to do in the morning.
I know. Not at night. I'm, like, really bad. At night, I'm like, okay, I'm good. But no, I like went through the cycle of the Cabo cream and my.
By the way, I saw your Insta story this morning, yeah. And I was like, they make toothpaste to stop breast milk?
Half of the people are not going to understand. People aren't going to think I'm like doing an ad for Cabo cream and it's a toothpaste.
I literally thought it was a toothpaste to help with.
So.
Stopping breastfeeding. Yeah, you need to put a disclaimer on there.
I know.
People are going to start buying that and brushing their teeth. You're an influencer now, Jenna. You need to be responsible for this shit.
All of my 2,000 followers are going to literally go buy breastfeeding cream. And they're going to be like, you guys, like the new thing is putting it in your mouth. It's
an
oral
thing. I love you so
much. So whatever. I'm just tired. I can't think anymore.
It's all good.
Okay.
Well, your teeth look great.
Thank you.
Maybe you're onto something.
Yes.
Okay, well, now this brings us to our guest of the week. We are geeking out, okay?
Totally.
She's a multi-platinum recording artist who has penned such hits as Jar of Hearts, A Thousand Years, among many others, and now has recently released a new album called Songs for Carmela, a collection of songs and lullabies that she has been singing to her now one-year-old daughter. And Jenna and I have had on repeat, by the way. Please welcome Christina Perry.
Yay!
Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here.
We're such big fans of you, and congratulations on making it through your first year.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. I just had the most obnoxious first birthday party for her, and I feel like the reason I did is maybe because, like, my husband and I survived.
Yes.
I feel like,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Is the first
Absolutely.
Birthday for the parents?
Yes.
It's 100%.
That's why everyone's like, happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. Really, I was like, thank you. I mean, I really, like, it was so crazy.
Was it Disneyland themed?
It was Minnie Mouse.
I know.
I'm obsessed. So she has no choice. Honestly, it was Mickey and Minnie.
That's a great thing to force on her.
Yeah, totally.
No,
I'm surprised her name isn't Minnie.
I know. I thought.
Did you ever think of that?
Wait, can we talk about her name for 1 second?
Yes.
Just to get the elephant out of the room, okay? Because I have to fangirl for 1 second.
Okay.
I may or may not have named my daughter after your fictional mom from The Sopranos. I'm so Italian. My husband and I both are. It's our favorite show ever.
Really?
Yeah. And I rewatched it when I was pregnant, like the whole series. I think we did like 3 times each.
Wow.
And yeah, we're like super
That's
fans.
Awesome.
And so, I mean, I love the name Carmela. Actually, when I named her, someone found on Twitter, like, 2007, me tweeting that was, like, my favorite name. And I don't even know how they found that. And I don't even remember tweeting that. But it was, like, what solidified it, I think, when I was super pregnant. And, like, it was our only girl name. Like, we had – because I didn't find out the gender.
You didn't?
No, which
That's
was crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, like, at one point, I got really stubborn about it because, like, I was really afraid we were going to find out. Like, we had gone 7 months or something. And so then I was so paranoid that we were going to find out. But
of course.
But
you made it that long. You want to go all the way.
Well, one time my OB left me in the room with the file. And, like, my husband wasn't there that day. And I'm just, like, sitting there, like, staring at it. And I was like, oh, my God, never leave me again.
You're lucky that, like, a doctor didn't slip up. My friend didn't find out. But the doctor was like, oh, shit. She's very healthy.
Oh,
and I was so afraid of that.
Like, it was like month 8 or something. Yeah. They were like, oh,
no.
My God.
I mean, once you go that long, I really did like preface every conversation I had with anyone in the office.
Smart.
Like, hey, remember, I don't know.
Yes.
And then what's funny is like my doctor said she totally forgot. Like she looked and then had forgotten. But anyway, so the moment she was born, they like, you know, hold her up and my doctor's like, it's a girl. And Paul and I are like, Carmela.
Oh my God, that's
and it was
so
like,
cute.
So
it's
it is
really
my favorite
beautiful name.
Thank
it
you.
Really
I also feel like it's so old school.
Yes.
Like, so my husband's great-great-grandmother, her name was Carmela.
Oh.
And I just love that, like, she'll be in school and, like, maybe not have another Carmela. Like, her generation, I feel like it's kind of an older
name. It's a unique name now.
For sure.
So other than your show and, like, you know, old ladies, you know, now I've got my own
old lady
Carmela.
Names are, like, where it's at.
I think
Seriously.
So. There is like a thing now. It's almost trendy.
Yeah.
But I didn't think about it. Like that was just my number one girl's name. I never agreed on a boy's name with my husband too.
Thank
so
God.
I'm really glad that she wasn't a he.
Boys' names are hard.
Do you think my grandma's name is ever going to come back? I feel like it is. Harriet. I feel like it's back.
See, that's
Do you
cool.
think?
Harriet's so cute.
I really like
Ethel ain't making it.
Ethel?
Although if I have a girl, she's going to be named after my other grandmother, Amelia, for
oh,
sure.
That's oh, that's really pretty.
And we want to call her Millie. Gave it away. Sorry. I'm never getting pregnant again, so don't worry.
Well Carmela's middle name is actually Stanley, which is super weird, but that's my grandfather's name. And
oh,
I always thought I was going to have a Stanley, like my firstborn. So then my firstborn was a girl. So I was like.
My daughter, Daisy, her middle name is Maxwell after my husband's grandfather.
So cool.
Great grandfather.
Yeah. I feel like Carmela Stanley, like that's her stage
so
name.
So good.
You know?
Great
yeah.
name. Great name. Well, thanks for sharing that with
us. Yeah, sorry. I was like, oh my God.
No, please.
Huge fan.
Do you think that we could ask you to also share possibly a mommy win fail
yes,
with us?
Yes. Awesome. Okay. I was loving yours, by the way. I was trying not to laugh out loud. So I'll start with my mommy fail, which is kind of like piggybacking on one of yours. So this week we've been in LA, like I'm just doing promo and I'm here and I don't live here anymore. So like we have an Airbnb that we've rented and basically, you know, I'm trying to like have my one-year-old live in this like strange place she's never lived before.
So hard, by the way.
Yeah. And like, so we have her sleeping in her own room. So one of the rooms we turned into her room and I've got like six sound machines.
Yeah.
So like
the
we can be loud.
Shades.
Yeah. Totally pitch dark. And like, you know, so I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job of like what it's like at home.
Yeah.
Even though she's in a pack and play, which, you know, but I bought like a nice little mattress for it. Like, aww. I mean, she's obviously my firstborn and my queen.
Yeah.
And so
it never changes.
Yeah.
You'll be that way with your second.
Oh, good.
Also
good.
Because it's for you.
Oh, for sure.
You know, yeah, you're like, no, I need them to sleep.
Yes,
totally.
Exactly. Well, so here's the issue. I think this is my mommy fail. So she's been waking up in the middle of the night, which she doesn't do. Like, she didn't sleep for the first 9 months of her life. Like,
that's my son.
Yeah, I breastfed her every hour and a half for like 10 months.
Did you die? Girl. Were you dying?
I thought I was going to die.
I actually thought I was dead. Like, I was
hold on. We're going to save that for our
topic. Yeah, I got lots of that stuff. Yeah. So I, anyway, she didn't sleep like at all. And so then when we moved and put her in her own room, she started sleeping through the night and she was just been an angel since. Like, it's almost like a little gift.
Yeah.
You know? And so since this trip, she's been waking up in the middle of the night and I've just been going in there. And I know that, like, we're not supposed to go in. And my husband's like, please don't go in. But, like, you know, there are little babies and she's, like, scared. So I'm thinking, like, clearly she's not hungry. She doesn't need to eat. But, like, I'm giving her a bottle in the middle of the night because she weaned off breastfeeding. Yeah. On her own. That's
really?
A whole other thing we
you're
can talk
so
about.
You're so lucky.
I know, but it was awful.
Okay,
like, I wasn't
it's emotional.
Ready.
It's
think,
emotional
I
when
you're
not
lucky,
ready.
But you
right,
think,
the grass
I had
is
to
greener.
Stop when I wasn't ready either, and
really,
it's hard.
It's so hard.
Very hard.
Yeah, so she still has some, you know, milk. And so now, so anyway, I've been feeding her bottle in the middle of the night. At least I did like twice. And now she's waking up every single night.
You can undo it.
And my husband's so
fine.
Pissed because I'm working. So I'm like, hey, I'm like, can you go do the middle of the night?
Yeah.
And he's wonderful. But like, you know, he knows it's my fault, sort of. That like I started it. So I do feel like a little bit mommy fail that, you know, but I also feel better about her being rocked back to sleep. Like we're not home, you know? Like,
right.
Yeah. I feel that mom guilt that like I'm working, I took her out of her element. Like I'm going to make sure that she's good.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit of a mommy fail. I think.
I get it.
Okay. So then maybe my mommy win would be working. I feel
yes.
like. Yeah, it took
You're
me.
Here.
Yeah, I'm here. I mean, I did my hair and makeup. Like,
and you look good, by
oh,
the way.
You.
You
thank
do.
You.
I
feel
I love your blonde hair.
Really? Do you
yeah.
like it?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I keep getting blonder. I can't stop. I feel like.
Don't stop. It works
really?
For you.
Okay. I look just like my mom, by the way, which
really?
Is crazy. It's really funny, too, because like my whole life, my mom had blonde hair and I'm really Italian and I have like really dark hair and dark features and a full beard. Anyway. and so, but my mom's like blonde hair, blue eyes. And I just, the second I gave birth, I was like, I should have blonde hair. And like everyone's making fun of me because it's like it was almost subliminal.
Yes.
Like I didn't realize I just wanted to look like my mom.
Your mom.
I think.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I just keep getting blonder.
She's probably so happy. She's like, oh, she just wants to be me now.
I know. It's cute.
It's happening.
Finally, we look so much alike and already.
I have to see a picture.
Yeah, I'll show you. And so now like my grandmother like mistakes me for her and her for me. Like it's
oh,
like we look
so
a lot,
funny.
A lot alike. But anyway, I feel like it's a win that I'm here and I'm working, I'm showing up. I'm also doing mom stuff. Like while I'm here, I'm still monitoring her naps, her food.
That'll never end.
Right? I
yes.
feel like such a badass sometimes when I nail it, you know, even when I'm
yes.
not there and like mm-hmm. she gets a nap and she has like the, you know, stuff she needs. And like, it's just those little things that we don't even talk about that like we're just so good at.
I know. And at
and
the
I
end
feel
of
like
the day,
that's a win.
At the end of the day, you're like, I did XYZ and you're like, damn.
Yeah.
I'm like such a badass. Like,
totally.
And working on top of it.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Exactly. That's why I feel totally
crazy.
Like a win.
Well,
yeah.
Bravo to you.
Oh,
thank
we'll
you. Give you a round
thank
of
you.
Applause for that. That's a major win.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
Okay. We are going to be back after a quick break and talk about a big subject that obviously we wanted to just get into and I had to stop everybody. Sleep deprivation, something that hits us all in the first year and sometimes beyond. So we'll be right back.
One of the greatest discoveries I think I made after having children was Instacart. We all need to grocery shop every week, but who wants to be rushed through the aisles with a screaming baby or an angry toddler who's grabbing all the gummies? So you can go through your virtual aisles, have exclusive coupons. It's available at your favorite stores. Groceries can be delivered from your local and national retailers. And other perks, there's no sitting in traffic, looking for parking, or waiting in the checkout line. You can get the app or go to Instacart.com and shop the groceries you need. Your groceries can arrive in as little as 1 hour, or at a time you select, they can keep the items hot or cold items cold, which is very convenient. Try Instacart and get $10 off your first order. To get this limited time offer, go to Instacart.com or download the mobile app and enter my promo code MAMA at checkout. Get $10 off your first order today at Instacart.com or download the mobile app, and don't forget to enter my code MAMA. That's Instacart.com or through the mobile app with my code MAMA at checkout.
All right, we are back with the incredible Christina Perry. All right, Christina, let's talk sleep. So since beautiful Carmela has arrived, yes, what has that sleep journey been like for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's really funny because I feel like when I first got pregnant, and maybe everyone does this, like I feel like I read everything I possibly could. Like I'm very nerdy in general. And so I wanted to like intellectually prepare as much as I could. And I remember, you know, every single human I talk to, they're warning you about not sleeping. Like, mm-hmm, I feel like that's just the thing.
They're gonna be like, sleep now, because.
Yeah, sleep now. Right. And like, we're gonna, you know, yeah, like, right, oh yeah, let me get an extra hour. And like, it's gonna even help.
Because it'll bank it.
Right.
For some, yeah,
exactly.
Later.
Exactly. But it's funny because now in hindsight, like I say that to pregnant people and I'm like,
totally.
Oh, God. But so I feel like I read like everywhere how hard it was gonna be, you know, and like I did the classes and the whatever. And like, and then boom, baby arrives. And like, I remember even the first night, like in the hospital, like my husband and I, like, I don't even remember what was day and what was night because, yeah, she was born at 1 a.m. So it was sort of like, you know, we were up all night and,
yeah,
then tried to sleep during the day. And like, and then I like look over at my husband and he's sound asleep. And like, I know that's a thing. And like, but in that moment, like it was so brand new. And I was like, oh my God, like, what did we do?
We're here. Yeah.
We're doomed. Like, this is what it's going to be like. Yeah. I'm going to be awake, like breastfeeding and like watching my husband sleep.
Yep.
And that's,
mm-hmm,
exactly what happened for the next 9 months.
Oh.
I always told everyone it felt like one big long day. Like, I really never felt like
it's Groundhog Day. Groundhog,
yeah,
Day.
And
that's,
I do,
crazy,
remember, I have to say, like, so around 4 months, between 4 and 5 months postpartum, like, I lost all the hair here that, like,
yeah,
a lot of women do.
But I still, yeah, got my,
yeah,
baby,
yeah. Whenever,
the baby hair.
Whenever I see women with this, I'm like, I feel you. You,
yeah,
know what I mean? Even if I don't know them, like, in New York City, I walk around, I'm like, oh,
it's like, you got
friend,
bangs. They're like, no, I had a baby.
Exactly. I'm like, come on. I didn't want bangs again. I did that once. So I lost all this hair, I remember. And, like, I started to feel, like, some postpartum symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember calling my OB because I was, like, cuckoo. Like,
so
just,
smart of you to do, by the way.
Yeah.
Most people don't do that, especially,
well, so
after their
many
first
people
baby.
Warned me. Yeah. I mean, I've been in therapy like 25 years, so I feel like I had a good sort of awareness. And I remember even having like a code word with my husband, like if I'm, you know, if I'm acting strange, like, like I was really nervous about it, just like growing up,
yeah,
having depression, like in my, you know, background. So anyway, I felt it. Like I really felt like,
yeah,
whatever hormones were balancing out like around that time. And so this was about 5 months in, and my therapist was like, you have to sleep for 6 hours. And I was like, no. Like, you don't understand. Like, Carmela eats every hour and a half, like maybe every two. Like, my husband can't do it. She's never had a bottle yet. Like, no. And she's like, no, like, you can't make a decision right now. Like, you haven't had, you know, 6 hours or even more than 4 hours in a row for 5 months. And so I do remember one time my husband did the overnight. Actually, no, I'm lying. We had a doula. We had like a little Polish lady come and she did the overnight with Carmela and I slept. And I felt like a whole brand new,
yeah,
person.
Mm.
So I will say one night in between 9 months,
oh,
I got 6 hours.
That's crazy. I had the same situation with my son. He was breastfeeding. He wouldn't take the bottle. Maybe it was my fault. It was, you know, first kid and I was like, maybe not giving him the bottle right. Or
right.
I just didn't try hard enough. Regardless, he was breastfeeding like every 30 to 45 minutes.
Oh, girl.
And it was so bad. And this was like the first year. And I remember just breaking down. I couldn't drive. It came to, yeah, the point where I thought I was hallucinating.
No,
I couldn't,
it's dangerous,
drive.
Oh, definitely.
And I was not well. Like, I was like, I cannot get behind the wheel,
yeah,
unless someone helps me.
I didn't drive,
yeah,
either. I definitely felt like drunk or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
You
know,
yeah,
what
you,
I mean,
feel
like,
drunk.
As dangerous as drunk driving.
You feel delirious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, with Bo, I was traveling a lot with him. My husband was playing baseball. And so we were living in people's homes, my parents' home, in the car. And so there was no sleep schedule. And now, and then since, like, once we moved back to LA, like, I'm a slave to the schedule. I'm an animal about it. Yeah. Like, nope, this is when he goes down. I'm not, I can't go to lunch with you gals at 2 because he goes to Napa 1:30. Like, that's how we do
same.
It. I will not sacrifice. Like, those moments of my day are more important than anything else, quite frankly. But it was rough, and it really affected every part of me. And I was definitely dealing with some postpartum stuff as well. And I have a natural depressive personality. And so I think with adding the no sleep on top of it, I mean, you're really stretching yourself. And I thought that I had learned all my lessons for my second baby. But then with Jack, so with Bo, I'll quickly say, so I got mastitis pretty early, and I got very bad to the point where I went septic and was hospitalized.
Oh, no.
So I had to stop breastfeeding super early with him. And got him on formula right away. But with Jack, I went a little bit longer, and it was much easier with him, and it was going better. And then I had to stop because I have MS and had to start medication. And when that happened was when all sleep went downhill. But even before that, I mean, because breastfeeding was going so well, and I was told that you make more milk between 1 and 6 a.m. than any other hours, and I had had such a hard time from the first one, and I wanted to stock milk, that I just wouldn't sleep. I would nurse him at 9, then I would pump, then I would sleep for 2 hours, nurse him at 1:30, then pump again and get like 8 ounces. Fall, he would wake up again at 4, I would nurse him, pump again, and then my older one was up.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I had to be with him before he went to school because he was really feeling like he was missing me. He threw this bomb at me. Get this. At like 3 weeks old, he was like, "You used to be my best friend before he got here."
Oh my God.
Stab in the heart.
I can't even handle that.
Terrible.
So, I mean, talk about stretching, like burning the candle at both ends. And so I think maybe when Jack was about 2.5 months, my husband was like, "Hey," because we don't live near family. We don't have anyone like really. I have a full-time nanny now, meaning full-time, meaning after school until bedtime.
Yeah.
When I have both kids around. But other than that, no one. And he had said, he's like, "Jamie, you need to hire a night nurse." Mm-hmm. Like, this is ridiculous.
Wait, did you not have one?
No. Until... Remember, I was like, "Oh, I don't need one. I can do this."
Because your mom was here or something?
My mom was here for the first like 5 days, but then she had to leave.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So I hired a night nurse, and she changed the
game
for me.
Did you have one?
Yeah, that's that Polish lady. She was my postpartum doula, but I didn't use her.
From day one?
No. I thought I could do it myself also.
Well, you want to.
Yeah.
You feel like I have nothing else to do. Like, this is supposed to be the thing I can do.
This is exactly.
This is natural. This has been done since the beginning of time. Like,
totally.
I should be able to handle this.
Yeah. I have a really funny story sidebar that I just want to say because of your cabbage cream.
Oh, God.
I have to tell you this story. This is probably now in hindsight my favorite postpartum story that at the time was the worst and is now very funny, I think. This is before we hired this postpartum doula, and I didn't even know really you could. Like, I felt like she was doing me a favor almost, like when she came. Because I had done this like Love Child Yoga in New York City. That was the name of the place. And they offered the classes and yoga. And then like they offered this lactation consultant to come to your home, right? So again, I read everything. I'm like, okay, I know the breastfeeding is going to be harder than the birth. Like people were telling me this. And I was like, yeah, you know, like I was praying that I'd be good at it or that at least I'd stick with it or whatever. And so I just remember when my milk comes in, right? This woman comes like, and she's telling me about it, showing me how to do the latch. Like, you know, it was very good timing because it was right when my milk had come in. Mm. And I was like, oh, great. I'm not engorged or whatever that means. You know, like clearly my boobs are just doing it fine. So she leaves, and this is now like almost like an overnight thing. And this is before this woman comes back, and I'm freaking out. Like at this point, I feel like Carmela wants to eat when I'm not ready. I'm ready when she's asleep. And we do that back and forth for a while. And I'm huge and it hurts.
And you're
I'm
engorged. Crying. Now.
Yeah, yeah. And so it feels like such a blur the first couple of days. Like I almost felt like I was an infant or a newborn. You know what I mean? Like I was doing the same emotions that she was. And so it's just me and my husband because, sidebar, my dad had open heart surgery 5 days before
I gave birth. That's hard.
And as an emergency, like we didn't even know. And so my mom, my family, no one could be there. And
yeah,
Paul's
no.
whole family had the flu.
Oh, wow. Gosh.
Swear to God.
Talk you guys read a book.
Solo. Yes. It was brutal. I can't actually believe that we made it, honestly. Like, that's also why I had such a big birthday party. I was like, Paul and I didn't break up. Like, it was so
we made
hard.
It. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God.
And so anyway, so it's just me and Paul. And again, it's like the fifth day or whatever. And so this happens. And so I call my OB because I'm like, what do I do? Like, she was so awesome. And she says, okay, you have to go get cabbage. And now at this point, I'm like crying hysterically. Carmela's crying hysterically. Paul is like talking to the imaginary crowd. He's like, we're all going to be okay. Like that, if you can imagine the heightened, like, you know, everyone's screaming.
Oh, no, we've all been there,
right? It's so intense. And so Paul's on the phone with her. I'm hysterical. She's like, go to the store and get cabbage. So Paul and I don't really cook that much. We don't know how big cabbage is. We don't know how it comes. So Paul is like,
you're like,
okay,
what does cabbage look like?
I'm like, I don't know. So
you sound like
Paul's
me.
Like, I'm going to go get cabbage. And I'm like, you can't leave me, but like, go get cabbage, but don't leave me. So I'm like, so he Postmates, right? We're in Manhattan. He Postmates 7 cabbages. Now, because he doesn't know either, and we don't know how big it is. So literally, the Postmate guy calls me, like, Paul's in the bathroom, and he's like, are you sure you want 7? I'm like, I don't know. Whatever my husband said, like, just do it.
Yeah.
So he comes to the door with 7 cabbages.
Like,
it's
huge.
6 bags from Whole Foods.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, this big. Yeah. You know, perfect bras. You know, they fit perfectly on your boobs. And I literally.
It's quite nice and cold. Actually.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I will never, and my husband will never eat cabbage again, because the next 10 days I just had cabbage sticking out of my bra.
By the way, like.
But it worked.
It totally works.
Yeah.
No one told me about Cabo cream, or did you know about cabbage cream?
No, I never even heard of it.
I didn't
hear. It must be something new on the market.
It must be. After I got mastitis 4 times this year.
Oh my gosh.
Someone told me about it as I was like just done with breastfeeding. Yeah. After I didn't need it, I was like, this could have helped, because I was like stuffing cabbage in there. I was like getting soggy. It's
Because it cooks. It literally cooks on your boobs within 5 minutes.
Yes.
I know. It definitely worked, but it was also so incredibly gross.
Oh my God. So.
Yeah. And now we laugh
no more
about
cabbage
that story. No. I can't eat it ever. I'm totally ruined.
No, you have PTSD. I have cabbage. You can't have that near you.
I'm always chasing my kids around. I'm going up and down my stairs constantly all day, every day. And I'm sometimes holding both of my kids at the same time. So I'm pretty much dripping sweat all day long, which is awesome. And I'm also hormonal, so it doesn't help the sweating. And I've never really found a clean deodorant that works for me up until now. I am obsessed with Kopari's coconut deodorant because it's aluminum-free, vegan. It does not contain silicone, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, or baking soda. And if you have really sensitive skin like me and you don't want all of that yucky stuff in your deodorant, you need to try Kopari's deodorant. It's just as good as the other deodorants out there. Trust me. Kopari actually offers a deodorant subscription, which is the coolest part of this whole entire thing, and you'll never run out of deodorant again, which has happened to me and my husband. It's shipped to you as often as you choose, automatically for free. And they also offer a money-back guarantee, so there's really no reason to not give it a try. Go to KopariBeauty.com/mama to make the safe switch today and save $5 off your first order when you subscribe. That's Kopari, KopariBeauty.com/mama. KopariBeauty.com/mama.
How long did you breastfeed for?
We made it about 11 and a half months.
Wow.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's huge.
Which I feel like there's no, like, I had in my mind I wanted to go longer, but like, she's a Capricorn. Like, she is so independent already. She's running. She started walking around 11 months and is just running and
crazy.
Doesn't want me to hold her hand. Aww. Like, she is Miss Independent already. I know it. And so it kind of makes
sense.
She
needs to come play with Jack and Daisy.
Please.
Oh, my God.
Please.
Next time you're in LA, call us.
Yeah. Well, she's awesome. But she would just slowly nurse less and less. Like, she didn't want to wait for it. She didn't want to work for it. And I was like, come on. Like, I need, you know, a little bit more. And she would just, like, go, you know, from 10 minutes to 8 minutes to 7 minutes, 6 minutes. And then...
When's her birthday?
January 17th.
Okay.
Oh, Jack's the 15th.
And Daisy's December 18th.
Oh, my gosh.
So, it's funny because... just hearing your story, I so wish that happened to me. I had to wean her and it was so hard. I kept procrastinating, not because I wanted to do it. I wanted to stop at 1 year exactly, but it was so hard for my boobs to, you know, get it down that I was just like, I wish she weaned herself.
Really?
It's just the opposite story. I was just like praying and praying and she would like kept tugging and tugging. It only lasted about a week until she figured out like, okay, like milk is fine. Like from
they're the little creatures of habit. They can, they are more resilient than
we are. Yeah,
but
it's just like,
we are not
oh my
because
God.
We
Absolutely.
Don't have sleep.
Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, please be done. I was like actually like praying that she was going to be done at like 10 months and 9 months, but I kept going just because like that's me.
Right. You kept saying you were going to stop, but you went to that full year. I think it's subconsciously what you wanted and it was the best for you.
It is. It was hard.
Yeah.
Hard as fuck.
Like, it was so
holy shit.
Yeah. No, I started weaning around, or she actually started weaning herself when my husband thawed accidentally all the milk in our freezer. Which I feel like is the worst thing that could possibly happen to a new mom.
Wait, did that happen to me? And I'm so dumb. I threw it out.
Yeah.
No.
Well, how long though? Because we went away for the weekend.
Oh.
I had to.
Okay.
No, I asked a bunch of people.
This was like 5 hours.
Oh, well, they say if okay.
I'm so dumb.
I know this is. I get mad.
This is my with Milo. Like I think about this all the time. I had I don't know like 25, 30, 40 bags.
Oh my God.
I'm so stupid.
It's my heart.
We're going to do a breastfeeding show for sure. But I will say quickly to some of the mamas that are still breastfeeding, I did read something that if there's still like the ice crystals in there, you can put it back in the freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as there's still
like,
some of that crystallization. Or like,
what about if it's cold? Just like put it in the fridge.
Well, but it only lasts
like 24 hours. I could have saved something. Yeah, I should have just put it back in the freezer. Anyway, this was like 3 years ago. So let's move on.
Yeah. Well, back to sleep.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of research because we have this really cool Facebook community from this podcast, and there's a lot of new mamas, and we told them we were doing the show, and a lot of them have written in of just sort of how you can sort of keep going in your life with lack of sleep because a lot of people have to go back to work. Yeah. A lot of people want to start having a little bit of independence, but on no sleep, it's really hard.
Yeah.
So in like my research with like Parents Magazine and different things online, so here's the things that they have told us, and then we, I think, can all comment as a little group here. So I find like with the newborn stage, there's so many emotions going on. Like there's euphoria, there's anxiety, there's nerves. And, you know, when they all say like sleep when the baby sleeps, sometimes all of that stuff gets in the way of when you actually can sleep. Like
there's too much to do.
Yeah. Not even that. It's just like there's so much going on in your mind and there's so many feelings going on. And like I would find myself in the middle of the night thinking like, I could be sleeping right now, but I start making to-do list or I start thinking about, you know, what I have to do or start worrying about this. And it's just your mind, you know, I think also too, when you aren't sleeping, you just start going even more crazy.
You're going into a deeper, darker hole.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think, you know, it starts off in the hospital. I remember with my first son, I didn't take advantage of the nursery.
Oh, yeah.
And my one piece of advice would be don't let the mom guilt creep in day one.
Yeah.
The nursery is there for a reason. Get those 2 nights.
Yeah.
I did it with Jack and it was worth it. With Beau,
I had
such guilt. And he was there.
I can't do that.
I know, but it's just 2 nights. Right. And every time he woke up, he was with me.
Right.
But they make a lot of noise when they're first born.
Yeah, I would do it now when I have another one. I would do it. I feel like, I now know that, like, they're totally fine in the middle of the night. You know what I mean?
And when they're hungry, they come to you.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel like I would do it. But I definitely couldn't have done it my first time.
Milo was in the NICU. He went straight to the NICU.
Oh,
so that was
different.
And then that started my whole no sleep. I had so much adrenaline and much anxiety that, whatever, I didn't sleep for 10 days straight.
Yeah.
But with Daisy, I was so excited that she wasn't in the NICU that I wanted her right next to me.
Right.
And
that
even if
sense.
There was no NICU in the picture, me personally, they would have to be right next to me.
Yeah.
Well, look, when I brought him home, he was in a bassinet right next to my bed. And
totally.
To be quite honest, I think for the first month, he slept on me majority of the time, which is the greatest feeling in the entire world when you have that little baby just laying on you.
Oh my God, I miss it so much.
Right?
Yeah.
Now that they're so independent, they never do it anymore.
Never. I mean, I literally got a nap the other day, like randomly. I don't even know why she was so tired in the morning. Like it wasn't her nap time. And I also am very, you know, crazy about schedule.
Yeah.
And she just fell asleep on my chest. Like we were just watching cartoons. And I was like, oh my God, I'm literally never moving again. Yeah.
That's the best.
It doesn't happen anymore.
All right. Well, another piece of advice because of all of that is even if you can't sleep when they're sleeping, I think even just laying down or resting, like not doing the dishes or doing the laundry or organizing your closet or whatever crazy things you could find yourself doing, just really putting your feet up.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I would do that and put the television on, I would pass out for a minute.
Yeah,
totally.
For sure.
And those little blips I mean, they do go a long way.
I feel like also not feeling guilty about that is really big, because now, even still, like, I have a gazillion things to do. And, like, sometimes, you know, because she only takes now, like, one nap in the middle of the day. And mm-hmm. so that, like, hour and a half, 2 hours, I'm
did she transfer to one already?
She did. Yeah. It was crazy. I didn't want to let the second nap go, but it's yeah, long story.
I'm like, doing that right now.
Super cranky. Yeah. Not worth
Jen
it.
And I literally, like, that's the majority of our text messages. Is like, is she going to drop that? Is he going to drop the nap?
It's so happening.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? Like, she took so long to take that second nap that it was like longer than her actual second nap to get her down.
Right.
And then she'd wake up
that's
furious.
When you do it.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Like, cool. I'm
you
following
just push
you.
Him in the morning.
And I did. Yeah. Now she does like straight in the middle of the day. But those 2 hours, if I get that, are the most precious 2 hours of my day.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, oh my God, this is my only chance to do these 17 things. And sometimes I can't move. And I just lay there and I veg out. I look at my phone. I watch something. And like, that's when the guilt will creep in. But like, if I could go back or talk to myself about it, like, no, like, that's okay if I'm not going to move for her whole nap. And you know what? I should have done that more when I was, you know, when she was
brand new. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Right? I would totally just have laid there. But I just thought, like, this is my only time to get stuff done, to be a wife, to read things, to, you know.
But that's, I think, another piece of advice is to delegate responsibility.
Yes.
Especially during those first few months is you had, like, one of my things with my husband was when he was playing baseball and I was with the baby all day and he would come home late from a game, he washed all those bottles.
Oh, good.
That was my one thing.
That was
I was like,
thing.
When you come home, everything will be clean. Like,
is this your second baby?
No, this was with the first. Everything will be clean.
Yeah.
The baby will be sleeping. I will be sleeping.
Right.
But you are going to watch. Like, once he was down, I wanted to eat and go to bed. And the fact that there was a pile of bottles and passies and whatever in the sink, that was his thing that he did for me every night.
Awesome.
And so finding those little things that you can, you know, in on the laundry just didn't get done until the weekend. It just didn't.
Yeah.
Unless it was necessary.
Right.
Like, it's just, you have to find, you just have to give up on certain things.
Yeah.
And then in the nighttime feedings, I know I talked about like my craziness with pumping, which I didn't do, but if I could, and I know you had like one night reprieve with your Polish doula.
Yeah.
But having someone, primarily, I think for most, it's their husband, do the nighttime feeding.
Yeah.
You know, because whether it's formula or breast milk, you can get the baby used to a bottle. My advice is getting the baby used to a bottle. I started giving Jack a bottle at 2 weeks, once a day.
It was so
to
hard
really
for me
help
for some reason.
For that reason.
Right. Yeah. I would probably do that differently next time.
That's what I said. And I didn't.
Really?
No.
Okay. I don't know.
No,
what
I'm so curious about what happens next time. But no, I don't know what it is with me and like breastfeeding and bottles. I'm just like, is it laziness? I don't know. I feel like bottles are a lot of work.
It was really easy to not have bottles for a long time.
Well, of course. You don't have to clean anything. It's just right there. You don't have to pump. There's all of that
stuff. But then
stuff
it's like when you want to go out and like party and not party, whatever.
Yeah,
but when you want to go, when you want to like go to a rave and stuff and you need to like leave your baby.
Right.
No, like you don't, like they're not taking a bottle and then it's extra stress because then they're not eating while you're gone. So yes, but I agree with you. And I didn't do it, but if I have a third,
but by the
which
way,
I'm not
it doesn't
to.
Matter the age. Again, these babies are resilient, and if you just keep at it, they will take it.
True. Yeah. I did start at around 5 months, trying to give Daisy a bottle.
I remember you were freaking out.
2 months.
You tried all the different bottles.
Every single night for 2 months, I offered her a bottle. She didn't want it, and then I gave her the boob. And all of a sudden, after 2 months, she started taking the bottle.
I
stopped the breast night feeding.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
I think after baby, we're all looking for ways to reinvent ourselves and feel like me again. And what better way to do that than to turn heads in a statement shoe from Shoe Dazzle? No matter what styles you're looking for, Shoe Dazzle is the place to get a shoe fix. And not only that, they have tons of clothing, accessories, and they have thousands of ways to help you step up your look. They have new styles that literally drop every week. And as a VIP member, it is definitely the best way to go. The cool part is when you first go on the site, you're given this really fun style quiz and it gives you a personalization into your shopping experience. They pick out styles for you. I got this really cute boots there that I didn't think I would pick for myself normally, but I'm pretty proud to be rocking them. But the most important thing, ladies, that I love to give a deal, VIPs like me save 30% off most retail prices all day, every day, plus get free shipping and returns, not to mention tons of other exclusive sales and perks. Now is the time to sign up as a VIP because right now you will get your first pair of shoes for, wait for it, 75% off, as low as $10. You can't beat that. This is an exclusive deal for a podcast listener, so make sure you go to shoedazzle.com/mama to get it. That's shoedazzle.com/mama to step up your look today for as low as $10. shoedazzle.com/mama.
You're listening to Mama Said with Jamie and Jenna.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
It's time to get into some shenanigans with Sheena Shea and this week's guest, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills' Teddy Mellencamp.
Me having to turn down big opportunities because I have to stay true to what I believe in, those decisions have weighed on me.
Yeah.
You know, because I also have my husband who's like a big entrepreneur, and he's like, well, babe, you know, you got to do this. And I'm like, well, no, I can't. Because that's the second that I... not sell out, but the second that I do something that doesn't feel right to me, I feel like our clients will feel that too.
Yeah.
Be sure to download new episodes of Shenanigans every Tuesday, right here at PodcastOne.com or on the Podcast One app.
And now back to Mama Said with Jamie and Jenna.
So another piece is, so when you can rest, keep off your phone.
Ooh.
I mean, that's a real hard one. But although that's how this podcast came to be.
Yeah. That's when I talk to my mom friends. I feel like that's
my only
time. I was
about to say that before, but then you were like, when I am laying in bed, I just want to go on my phone, which is what I do every single time. And then after the 2 hours of nap is up and I've only been on Instagram and stuff, I'm like, what is this? Like, what's going on with me? It's kind of gross. Like, I feel like
but it's kind of how we plug in. I feel like, part
of- It's your you time.
Yeah. It's not just my you time, but it's also like- I get to feel like I know what's going on, not just in the world, but just in my friends' lives.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, maybe I'm making a ridiculous excuse for it, but like.
No, that's the truth. You want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
You feel like you're, you know, part of life. Yeah. Like, you don't have FOMO. And
exactly. Yeah. I mean, I do. Like, Kelsey with her, like, journaling. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, how do
what's
you
that like?
Do that?
Who has time in the morning for anything?
I know. I give her such shit for that. But, yeah, I just, like, enjoy vicariously through, you know, her, whatever.
Do you ever use music as, like, a sleeping tool for Carmela?
Well, I sing to her. I mean, truly. Like, so the it's a great segue.
I know. I'm so curious. Because, like, she's a singer. I sing to my kid. Kids. I have two kids. All the time. And I
mean,
feel like
since
obviously you do.
The very beginning. And I genuinely sing these 10 songs. Like, so, I mean, one of them my husband really sings to her more than
which
I did.
Which one?
The Tonight You Belong to Me, which is why I let him feature on it. Because he was like, that's my song.
Oh, my God.
But it became, like, the soundtrack in our house, basically. So, I've been singing, because Disney's my favorite. So, the Disney songs on there, I sing to her every day.
So pretty, by the way.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
You Are My Sunshine is something I've always played and sang for my kids. And I never knew the second verse of it until I listened to your album.
Really?
And I started hysterically crying.
It's heavy.
Because the music is like hauntingly beautiful, first of all.
Thank you.
And I was bawling because it made me feel like I could start crying. It made me feel like my dad, who passed away, was like holding me. I was listening to it today. And it's really touching. I never knew. Is the song about someone
losing someone?
Yeah.
I think so. Or the fear of it, right? Which is sort of like as moms, like what we, you know, go through.
What are the words to the second verse?
Let me see. You're my sunshine.
Something about holding you.
I dreamed I held you in my arms when I awoke. Dear, I was mistaken. So I hung my head and I cried. Yeah.
Makes me sad.
It's so sad, right? But then, I mean, it picks up again that you are my sunshine. You
know. I know. It's the most beautiful song.
It really is. And it's like, just- I cried recording it, just so you know. I cried a couple times. I cried during the Coco song, the Remember Me, because like that one's really sad too. Like classic Disney just being super sad.
Moms who are having problems going to sleep or getting your babies to sleep by Christina.
By the way, I'm clearly still hormonal.
I know. I feel so touched. I want to go over and hug
you. You don't have to be. It's beautiful.
It really. I was like, wow, okay. Well, this song has a whole new meaning. It was really pretty.
I really do sing to her constantly. And you know what's funny, like talking about social media. So I didn't plan on doing a lullaby record. I didn't even plan on coming like resurfacing for a while. Like I just wanted to be a mom and enjoy every millisecond of it.
Yeah.
And so what I started doing though was like posting these Instagram stories of me singing to her. And because she was so cute, like she would smile and like, you know, just like really early smiling. Like I remember like my husband and I being like, is this normal? Like, you know what I mean? She would just like look at us and smile so big when we were only when we were singing to her.
She really
loved it. And so I wanted to share that. Right. So I start posting these videos just 10 seconds long or whatever. And then like the response to it, which, you know, I feel lucky, like I just communicate with everybody on social media. Like I've always been just sort of there. Mm-hmm. And so I was like really listening and reading to everybody, and they were just like, oh my god, please like make a lullaby record. And
yeah, because your voice is insane.
Yeah. Thank you. I really didn't plan on it, and then all of a sudden it just sort of clicked, like, yeah, maybe I should do this. Like these are the songs I sing to her every day, and she just so genuinely seems to like
love
music
it. And it's such everything is so pure on the album. It's not like,
oh, thank you.
It's just so nice.
Think about these virgin little ears. I mean, this it is music is
therapy.
Is the universal language, but for these babies, I mean, it helps them find a rhythm, literally, of mood and emotion and where they should be going
comfort,
in their day.
Yeah.
Comfort.
It's really their little therapy.
Like it teaches them to calm down, or now is to be fun. Let's play.
It's the best.
It really is.
And the association with certain songs is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Twinkle Twinkle, when I sing it to my daughter, I mean, I could sing it during the day, but at night when I sing it, she just puts her head on me. She knows.
They know.
Like, you know,
that time,
Till There Was You was the one I've been singing since
I'm obsessed
arrived.
With it.
That's the one, like out of all of them, that like she knows like it's bedtime or that it's snuggle time or like, I don't know. I could just feel that she's comforted by that the most.
Yeah. And she's in it when she like giggles and laughs.
Oh my God.
Not in that song.
In Tonight You Belong to Me.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I put like featuring Carmela because she laughs. Yeah, super cute making it.
What a beautiful, special thing.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that
with
us.
Thank you.
And then sharing the songs and the album with us.
I know.
I mean, it's for everyone and everyone's babies.
Yeah, it's actually really exciting to have made a lullaby version of 1,000 Years because so many people have told me, you know, once they've gotten married to the song, then they have a baby to it and or like, and then they play it to them, which is such a gift. I mean, honestly, that song feels so much bigger than me, like because it just doesn't stop being a gift.
Yes.
Honestly.
I mean, do you know how many people have walked down the aisle to your song?
It's so true.
Oh my gosh.
It's insane. It's actually overwhelming. Like, I don't think I can process it.
Yeah.
I want to tell you one quick story. So I wrote the song in 2011. It came out, you know, on Breaking Dawn Part 1. I actually wrote it for Vampires, which is really funny.
Oh, really?
I wrote it for the Twilight movie.
Oh.
And I wrote it for their wedding, which is really funny because it wasn't in the wedding scene. And so many people stopped me and they're like, oh my God,
it should have been.
I love your song from the wedding. Yeah. And I'm just like, my friend Ryan O'Neill actually wrote the song for the wedding scene. And I'm just like, oh, thanks. Like, it was in the credits, but thank you.
Yeah.
So it had come out and it hadn't, you know, been out for very long, but so many people were telling me that they were getting married to it. So it's about a whole year, I think it was out. And I just couldn't hear it because I wrote it. Like, I don't know how you feel like when you see yourself like working, you're just, I don't know, you're associated to it in a different way. And so to me, like I was always hearing the mix. I was hearing the, you know, what I wish I did better or whatever.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, like I can't hear the song. Like I really can't.
Yeah.
And so.
You're too critical.
Yeah, totally. And so one time I was in Laguna and I had like 2 days off and I went to the Montage Hotel, which was like my secret
the
little
best.
Getaway.
So
yeah,
the best.
Oh my God. Okay, so I'm there. And you know, there's like the beautiful grounds. You know that they have like a gazillion weddings there?
Totally.
So I remember it was August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd that weekend because it was like wedding central. And so the first day I'm there, there's a wedding on the grounds. And like, I felt so gauche like watching. But like everyone sits in their little balcony and they watch because the wedding,
you
can see it. So I was like, you know, looking around like, okay. So I watched the first wedding. And then the next day there's an even bigger wedding. And at this point I'm like waiting for it because it was just so fun to watch.
Yeah.
So I'm not even kidding. So the third day, it's gigantic. I mean, like the biggest wedding I've ever seen, like 17 bridesmaids. And there's like six or seven songs of processing, right?
Yeah.
And so I swear to God, I'm in my robe, I'm drinking coffee, and all of a sudden, like, everyone stands up and the bride appears with her dad, and all of a sudden I hear me. And it's like, you know, heart beats, and I'm like, oh my God. And I literally, I start crying.
Aww.
And not even like, oh my God, I'm awesome, but like, I just like heard
it.
No,
it's just a beautiful moment.
Yeah, I was watching this bride crying, looking at her dad crying, the people at the wedding crying. I got to like see the song and hear the song for.
And now we're crying.
The very first time. Yeah. So wait. So it was funny because in the moment. Well, I almost sing out, right? Which I'm really glad I didn't because I'm like, oh my God, everyone
would have made their day.
She would have done like a little harmony.
Well, no, but then I realized like this is this girl's like maybe favorite moment of her life. Like, yes. I'm glad I had restraint in that second, but I go, okay, well, I absolutely have to thank them.
That's what I was going to say.
It's really the first time I heard the song. Like, I'm not even being cheesy. And so. I run down to the manager guy and he's like, well, first of all, you need to get dressed. Like, I'm literally in a robe. And he was like, I'll handle it. Like, come back at this time and I'll have you guys, you know, meet or whatever. So literally like 2 hours later, I didn't want to crash their wedding. So she came out into the little lobby.
Yeah.
And like, she bursts out of the doors, like picks me up, spins me
around. Oh my God.
And she's like, oh my God. She's like, I picked your song before I even picked him. And her husband's like, yeah, that's true.
That is so sweet.
And like, we held each other and I thanked her and she thanked me. And it was just like this
really beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Thanks and then for sharing that. That's so cool.
That is amazing. And now you re-recorded it to your perfection.
I know, right? And I did this little lullaby version like on purpose just because it just, like I said, it feels like such a gift. And like everyone, you know, tells me they play it for their kids. And like now I feel like they have a special version.
When I first met my husband, this was probably like, I don't know, like 2 weeks in or like 3 weeks in. We were watching TV and your song came on and he was singing to it. And he was like, oh, I love Christina Perry. Aww. And I looked at him like, that is so cute. And I even like have a Facebook post about it.
So,
like,
oh, really?
Yes. Because I thought it was so cute. He's like such like a manly like dude. Yeah. Well, is he? Not really. But then he was like, oh, I love Christina Perry and just like singing like soulfully. I'm like, wow.
That's so cute. Neil should have come today.
I know. He's like a major fan.
Love that. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that story with us.
Of course.
All right, you guys, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with a couple of more sleep tips and then Shitty Mommy. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, Christina's album is Songs for Carmela.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. Gorgeous. Be right back.
All right, Jamie. So as you know, and as most of the listeners know, I am kind of scared of cooking, but we got Green Chef in the mail and my husband and I decided to make dinner and we made the meatloaf, which was our favorite meal. It was so, so good and so easy. And it kind of took the fear away. I don't think I'm scared of cooking this way. It's easy to follow. The instructions are right in front of you. You can't really mess up. And it was delicious. We did it right when the kids went to bed and it was so easy and good. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that makes eating well, easy and affordable with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. And the meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, Mediterranean, heart smart, lean and clean, keto, gluten-free, and omnivore. So when I tell you they have something for everyone, I mean it. So Green Chef lets you choose from a wide array of easy to follow lifestyles with select organic ingredients. The recipes are so easy. It's step by step. You literally cannot mess up. They give you chef tips. They give you photos. And literally everything is handpicked and delivered right to your door. The ingredients come pre-measured, which is so amazing for me because that's what I absolutely hate doing. And they're perfectly portioned and they're mostly prepped. So you kind of have no excuse. You can switch up your meal plan whenever you're ready to try a new way to eat, which is what I'm going to do because I want to try everything else they have on their menu. I'm so excited. So for you guys, you can get $50 off your first box of Green Chef. Just go to greenchef.us/mamasaid, and that's $50 off your first box of Green Chef. Go to greenchef.us/mamasaid. Enjoy.
I'm just like, huh.
All right, we're back. We've taken a few deep breaths here. We're going to continue just a couple of more tips for you mamas. And then Jen and I will continue this convo for you on our Facebook page of any concerns and anyone who's struggling with sleep deprivation. A big one I know that I did a lot of, and it's hard not to, but if I can tell any of you, please don't or try to avoid entertaining when your baby is like the first couple of months when you're super tired. It's so natural to like want to have people over and family over to come visit the baby. But then you have to feel like you need to have food set up and the house needs to be clean and things need to be in a certain order. And that's just a lot of responsibility, I think, you put on yourself that's unnecessary.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I agree too. I don't think I did that. Well, I was also in the middle of flu season in New York City and snowing, and
so
my doctor
like,
was
no
like,
"No one can come over."
Yeah, I mean, really, my doctor too, because it was the flu was so bad that year.
Yeah,
and
all of yeah,
right. In January, Rhea.
Yeah,
we all had winter babies.
I did not let anyone over for four months. I kid you not.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't take her many places. I kept her, you know, under wraps. I mean, I had people come over,
of course.
And it is funny, like that meme going around that. It's like, you know, if you want to come over and see the baby and help, like, please come over at 2 a.m. or 4 a.m.
Yeah.
You know? That's exactly. Sort of how I felt.
Like, and, like, get your shot, too.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, not to mention also if you're breastfeeding, like, I was just constantly topless, like, walking around with, like, salt water on my boobs. Like, not a good look for entertaining.
Yes.
But, you know.
My husband has shown me pictures on his phone of me, like, in the first couple of months. And I knew, like, some people might have been over that day. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me that's what I look like in front of people?
And then, like, your boobs are just, like, huge.
Like,
yes,
and then, like,
your nipples
my
are, like,
weird
like, who
stomach.
Who wants to see this shit?
And, like, my mesh diaper showing. Like, all that stuff.
Yeah. I missed that mesh diaper. That was kind. It was comfortable.
Oh, no.
I liked it.
I took so many home because every mom
you
told me
you take everything that's not locked down.
Do you guys still have, like, those pink bins? Did they give you those?
I bathed him in that for a little while.
Me too.
I didn't get a pink plastic.
Maybe it's like a cedarous thing.
I got a pink cup, though, like from the hospital.
Did?
That was like a huge sippy
cup. You delivered in New York?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like from cedars, like everyone has a pink bin.
Jen and I will give you some good tips for labor and delivery.
Oh, my gosh.
We've got a doula coming up soon, right?
Yeah, we do.
We're gonna talk to her.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
Okay. Another big one. All right. We talked about outsourcing tasks. We talked about weekends when husband can help, especially. Just know it will end and it will get better. I think I know you're hearing it, but we're just going to try and remind you of that because, like you said, it felt like one long day. It really just can feel like, when is this going to end? It could, and days are super long and it's, and you go from the baby, you're like counting how many days they're old and then they're how many weeks and then you go into months and then you start going into years and it just, you can take, even as I'm talking about
it,
Jamie,
you're
taking a deeper breath.
You're thinking about it. No, to me, it still feels like one long day, but the difference is I know that they're both sleeping after 7-ish, and I could go out if I want to.
Yeah,
like, that's a babysitter, and I'm like, it's like 7 o'clock. Yeah. I've told you this. It's really bad, but like I wake up and I'm like, is it 7 p.m. yet?
Totally.
Like
no,
I can't wait
for bedtime.
It's always countdown till bedtime.
Yeah. Always.
Last night I went to see, quick side note, I went to see this healer last night who-
You were up late, by the way.
I was up so late because I was literally like vibrating from this amazing healer I saw, Dr. John Amaral.
Can
I will talk
him
about
on?
Him more. I'll try and get him.
Okay.
He's like an in-demand man. But he was incredible. I'm like two of my best girlfriends had him over his house for me. But the reason why I was able to surrender, I think, and have that experience was because it was 7:30 when I met him. And I knew both my kids were home asleep and they didn't know that I wasn't there.
Right. Oh my gosh.
I have the most incredible nanny who I knew had lockdown, if anything. But like,
was there Cutter with you?
Yeah, he came.
Wow,
with me.
That's really
There's just something that happens at bedtime. Yeah. Like when they get older, you'll see mommies when you know that they're sleeping through the night and they're good. Of just, you have a little bit of a life. And, you know, sometimes it might only be for an hour and a half, but it doesn't matter. That's your time.
For me, for me, like at 7 p.m., like when they're sleeping, I'm like, hallelujah. Yeah. Like I hear like angels singing.
You get a little pep in your stomach.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm not tired anymore.
Yeah.
Great.
And now it's time to do fun things for me.
Yes.
Yeah. It's great. I definitely feel like, though, at least the first 12 weeks, like I tell everyone who has a baby, like who are, you know, my friends that are just having babies now, like I think I know a lot of things. But
you
like,
do.
But you do.
You're an expert, actually.
Kind of, right?
But you are.
Yeah.
And every mom has the right to preach.
Totally.
I truly believe
And I
that.
Do sort of ask because I know like a lot of girls don't want unsolicited advice. And so I always like say,
of
like,
course.
Do you want what kind
my
of
my opinion?
Yeah, do you want my opinion? Do you want just my experience?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
smart,
to ask.
I'm respectful of you.
Yeah. And I just feel like knowing that it's temporary is always the thing I end up saying because they're just like, what? You know, because it's the most shocking thing in the whole world. And that fourth trimester thing, I really believe it. Like, I really believe, even though she kept breastfeeding constantly.
Yeah.
I became like I just started coming back to life like about, you know, 12 weeks after she was born and then like another couple months and then like but like funny to be in the season now where like she goes to bed at 7 and I have a life. Like, I didn't think that was a
ever
real thing
possible,
ever, right?
I know.
That would be a lot of my tears would be like, oh my gosh, what happened? Like, what will I, how, you know, I was so like, thought my life was just totally gone.
Yes.
And like this new one was here and never to be returned again.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, oh shoot.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah. Then, but now like
see,
I
you're so telling how tired you are. You just spilled your coffee.
But now I, I have a life. I'm working. Like all the things I didn't imagine could happen again or
do are happening.
So it's proof.
I'm not kidding. I once printed out a sign that said, "This too shall pass," because I needed like a mantra because I was so miserable.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And it worked. Like I was like, this, and it did pass. Like
it did.
It really did.
And it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last, but definitely not least, I will say to all you mommies out there, I know we have done a show about postpartum depression. We've all had our experiences with it. Do not ignore your baby blues. I know sometimes you could feel like this is just because you're tired, but you could be suffering from postpartum depression and the lack of sleep could make it worse. Or postpartum depression, lack of sleep could actually kind of induce a little bit of postpartum depression. So please, mommies, you know it's hard when you're in those trenches and you have so little time, but carve out whatever you can to just pay attention to your emotions, speak, talk to your husband, your friends, reach out because, you know, we've all had our different experiences. I didn't that first year and with my first child and it was terrible.
Yeah.
And I was on top of it with Jack. And I think that it's, you're taking care of so much and you still need to have, you need someone to take care of you.
Yeah.
It's like, you're still a baby.
Totally.
You're the newborn as well.
Hormones are just, insane. It's just insane.
That's it really is
one word,
the reason.
Hormones.
Yeah. Everyone doesn't want to admit it, but like, it really is hormones. Like
yes.
It's physiological is what I'm learning. Like even more so than emotional and behavioral, you know, it's literally in your body. It's chemical.
Yeah.
And the thing I wish that I guess I had heard or learned, because I felt like I read so much, but then I wasn't ready for the 4 or 5 month wave of postpartum symptoms. When my hair fell out, I was like, what's happening? Because at least in my mind, I thought like the times that happens, I thought maybe it was right when the baby arrives. And then I had heard about when you stop breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't ready for one in the middle.
Right.
And then the other thing I learned that was really helpful is that everybody gets a version of postpartum symptoms. So like I kept thinking,
oh
like,
my God, yes.
Postpartum depression is such a big, scary word and I don't want to say I have it or I don't want to get it, thinking it's something I'm going to get and wear and be forever. And what really helped me was knowing that like on a scale of 1 to 10, every woman gets some version of all of the symptoms. So it's like, oh, I'm just having a very little wave of anxiety or like, you know, shooting adrenaline up my legs and I can't sleep for 3 days. Okay, well, that's temporary. And it's not like I have this thing now forever. And that was like really helpful for me for it to go away.
I think
like,
that's really
that's
helpful.
So smart for you to mention.
It's so temporary again.
I was going to say, before I had kids, I thought postpartum depression was this, you know, you were just in your bed all night long and just depressed. It's so not that for
or
me.
Or that you were like, didn't like your baby.
Or you didn't like your baby and you wanted to hurt your baby maybe.
Right.
It is not that. My form of postpartum depression came through breastfeeding. Like when I told you, when I held her, like I felt like, you know, I wasn't doing this right. Like
There's postpartum anxiety.
And it's just like it comes in different forms.
Yeah, and waves.
And it could be slight. It could be heavy. Yeah. And, you know.
And all of it's okay.
Like, yes.
All of it's normal. And
you know.
And I just want to say one thing. So I posted about when I stopped breastfeeding just recently. I posted an Instagram story. And I feel like this is like my favorite social media story I have, because sometimes I really don't like Instagram and I don't like comparing myself to other people. But I actually reached out. I made like my DMs open because normally, you know, I have to follow someone to DM. And so I posted like, hey, I quit breastfeeding. I'm having a hard time. I don't know if moms want to, you know, reach out. And
isn't
literally
it beautiful?
I got thousands and thousands of messages and all of them said, me too. All of them said, this is what I did. All of them were hopeful and amazing. And I swear I read them.
I
and everyone
was
knows
say,
I wrote
I bet
them
you read
back.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Of them.
I was like, thank you. Thank you. Like it really, really did help. So like what you were saying about reaching out, I really think that's the first thing to do is to just acknowledge it, to say it. And then it just minimizes and desensitizes like the symptoms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of a little segue into slightly shifting gears, but sharing and not feeling alone also is why we have Shitty Mommy, because we can all feel like shitty moms, and sometimes we need somebody else to make us feel better.
Yeah.
Shitty Mommy!
So, Christina, I'm going to read a listener's Shitty Mommy first to give you a minute to possibly think of your own, okay?
Yeah.
So this Shitty Mommy experience came from Claudia, and she is 9 years in as a mommy, so she's an old vet for us, but she this one's literally shitty, okay? She said, when my oldest was about 18 months old, I was desperate to potty train her because, well, everyone else was doing it, and there was mom pressure. By the way, super early.
Wait. Yeah, that is
18 months.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
She said, but my daughter wasn't into it. So before bath, I stripped her naked and I put her on the potty. We read and sang songs for at least half an hour, but nothing. So I took her off the potty and I started running the bath, checking my phone, probably on Facebook or Pinterest or whatever was super important at the time. When my daughter started tugging at my leg, after a few tugs, I finally looked at her like, what do you want? And she was just standing there, all innocent faced, holding an enormous log of poop.
Oh my God.
Up at me with a huge smile, so proud of herself for having made poopy out of her diaper. Hashtag shitty mommy.
That is so cute. Hey, if it goes in the toilet or in your hand, it's still
bravo,
still pooping.
Little girl. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean,
that is a shitty moment. A shitty mommy.
Anything that involves shit. I mean, Jenna and I literally, the title of this podcast was going to be Shitty Mommy because so many of our texts in the middle of the night were about poop.
Yeah, do you remember when,
I told you I was going to shit?
Wait, what were you going to say first?
I have a terrible story.
What? Tell me.
Do you remember? I was eating all these like lactation cookies and like they kind of like make you have to poop. And like it was just a dark moment and I was nursing Jack in the middle of the night and like he wasn't going to sleep. And I remember walking into my bedroom at like 3:45 in the morning and be like, Cutter, you have to take the baby to him. I'm about to shit myself.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I was those lactation cookies. Ladies.
Do you remember when I was potty training Milo and he was like, I'm going to poop.
And
a piece of poop fell out of his diaper and I didn't see it. And Daisy couldn't move. So she was just laying there. And then I came back because like Daisy wasn't moving. So I could leave her for a second.
Yeah.
Came back and she was just innocently laying there. And a huge piece of poop was right next to her face.
Oh my God.
Felt so bad.
I have that photo somewhere.
It's the best photo ever. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So we're going to defer to you, Christina. Do you have a shitty mommy story?
Well, yeah, I was thinking especially too because when she said that she was on her phone, like on Facebook or whatever, I feel like probably my shittiest mama, at least the one I feel the worst about, is like a lot of people tell you that your baby's going to fall off the bed or like fall off of something or the couch or like, you know, and I'm like, not me.
Right.
Like, I do not take my eyes off this girl. Like, you know, I don't do that. And then literally the only time she has ever fallen ever off of anything was when I was on Instagram.
Oh, shit.
And man, did it feel awful. Like, cause she wasn't walking or anything. And so she was crawling and she was on my bed and she just like flopped out over. And I just like in that moment, and I know I was sleep deprived, but like, I just remember thinking like, it just happened so fast.
And she's okay.
And she's
alive.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So moms, if it happens to you, don't worry.
Yeah. That was the worst thing I ever did.
It's not.
Yeah.
And it's literally everyone. I remember Beau, I was like alone with him. Cutter was a spring training and he was like just learning to sit up and like toppled over while I was on Instagram probably also and like hit his head on the tile floor.
I
feel bad.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well. Well, Christina, thank you so much for meeting us and being here with us and being so open and amazing. We love you.
And we love every single song on the album.
We love your album.
Oh my gosh.
Songs for Carmela. Everyone, moms, anyone, please pick this up. It's so beautiful. Her voice is so beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your gift with us.
Yay.
And mommies, I'm going to leave you with, it's not technically a mama said, but I'm making it a mama said. So here you go. Mama said she believed she could, but she put the kids to bed and then was too tired.
That's hilarious.
Have a great day, guys. Yay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Mama Said with Jamie and Jenna. New episodes are available weekly at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you love the show, don't forget to leave a rating and review.
Sponsors for this episode of Mama Said are
Instacart.
Get $10 off your first order by using code MAMA at Instacart.com or on the Instacart mobile app.
Kopari. Go to KopariBeauty.com/mama to save $5 off your first order when you subscribe.
Shoe Dazzle. Go to ShoeDazzle.com/mama to sign up to be VIP and get your first pair of shoes for 75% off.
Green Chef. For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/mama said.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room. Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.